Seat Breakfast with Now.
Join the home of brilliant entertainment with shows, movies and sport on Now.
Seat Breakfast with Niall and Show.
Oh, we're all in. Good morning to you. Welcome along. It's Thursday's Week Breakfast, April 4th, 2024.
Good
Niall
morning.
Is here. Show is here. Killian is here. And very importantly, most importantly, some would argue, Aoife, our news editor, is here as well. So, if you were listening to us 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, we revealed in the last hour that today is a national day for lots of things, but most importantly, it's dedicated to our Aoife, because today is National Hug a News Person Day, and Niall's just given Aoife a big hug. Killian, you're next.
You.
I've actually cheated and given her one already this morning, a pre-show hug, and I'll go last. It's National Hug a News Person Day, so if they're okay with it, I would suggest that you ask them and then give
consent.
Them a hug.
Here. Get consent. Well, Aoife, how are you feeling? I know you didn't have a great sleep, so is this helping a little bit?
I'm feeling the love. I'm really, really feeling the love.
Yeah. I'm so glad that we have somebody in the studio that's a hugger, you know, because remember that time that I hugged the radio consultant? I don't know if you ever heard that story, Aoife, but our fabulous radio consultant, Andy, came over from the UK last year and I went in for the hug and it ended really badly. So that's why I say, are you okay?
I'm such a hugger. Aww. I'm like, what do they say, your love language? I'm a cuddle lover.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I hope you get lots of hugs on your special day.
And Doyle, beware.
Oh, yeah. How are you feeling on your national day?
You know what? It's actually nice, it is.
Yeah,
we do get a bit of flack at times, the news heads, but it is lovely. I love an L hug, so delighted with myself.
Well, if you meet a newsreader along the way today, anyway, just give him a hug.
Oh,
right, it's Thursday's Beat Breakfast on the way this morning. Final dilemma of the week. Chance to win as we play Beat the Bomb just after 8. We're here till 10. Good morning.
Morning.
Start. You had a busy weekend. I know we're still talking about the weekend, but you were in Cork for the week. Yeah, gallivanting.
Cork, Tom's home city and the place that I used to live, and we were driving through the streets of the city and reminiscing, because that's where we met originally. And Tom went to the Prez in Cork. He was a Prez boy, and we were coming up to the school, and he went, here we are now, we're coming up to my old haunt. And as we approached it, there was a giant size poster at the front of the school of Killian Murphy with his big Oscar superimposed, and congratulations, former pupil Killian Murphy, on winning the
Brilliant.
Oscar.
Yeah, nothing like pride of Ireland.
Absolute pride. And he was like, oh God, I don't know, this is a bit embarrassing, is it? And I was like, no, why is it embarrassing? He's the most famous person probably to come out of the school. So why not celebrate it and shout about it? He didn't see it in the same light.
Yeah.
So then
would you want to send your child to school just because Killian Murphy went there, is the question. Are they going to get any win out of this?
Well, I think, like, if something happened from somebody that used to work here, if someone that used to work here won an Oscar, I'd say we'd hang it out the front of the broadcast centre. I mean, why not?
If I win something big, you can make me into a flag and put me out in the flagpole so everyone sees it from miles around.
Okay, you want to be up on the pole. All right, note that, Killian. Note that.
I will do.
Pole for Niall. Yeah. I suppose that is the question that we're talking about this morning. What does your village or town or your county still cling on to? Because Killian attended school from 1982 to 1988, and obviously it's made the headlines, you know, his face is plastered all over it, but like, this is not new. Like, I've spoken to you over the last couple of weeks many times on this show about the fact that Castlebridge, where I used to live in County Wexford, is the home of the Guinness Book of World Records, and there's three plaques erected in the village. Stop, Killian. Do you know what he's laughing at?
Erected.
Yeah. 7:09. Good morning. So, like, they claim that as their thing. It's what makes Castlebridge stand out. But but it does, Niall.
Well, yeah, I suppose. I mean, what is Castlebridge? It's a corner.
Oh my! I've never been. Is it just like a small little village that is home to the Guinness Book of Records?
Did you just say that? Yeah. Castlebridge is a corner. Castlebridge is a village with shops and a pub and a takeaway.
Yeah,
and
look, I'm just saying you need something.
It's not a corner though, and it's like, that's irrelevant.
How you get three plaques in that tiny space, I don't know, but well done.
God, is there anyone out there this morning that's woken up in Castlebridge or is from Castlebridge and has left and just wants to defend themselves? It's not a corner. It's like massive, beautiful places in Castlebridge. But yeah, their claim to fame is that they are the home of that. And it's okay if you are a small town or a village to say, we've got this. You know, we did this before.
This is what we're proud of.
Yeah, like Wexford, I would say, still clings on to 1996.
You know? You certainly do.
We were dancing at the crossroads then. We haven't done it since, but you know, who knows? Yeah, you have to cling on to hope.
That's all we have. So what is it that your town, city, village kind of clings on to in terms of achievements in the past, sporting, entertainment or otherwise? I mean, I've spoken on the show before, but there was never a bigger year for Waterford than 2004 when Chris Doran won Eurostar.
Yes.
We came across the bridge in an open top bus.
Yeah.
I was on the bus.
Were you?
Yeah, I was.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was on the bus, crossed the bridge, open top, up around Ballybricken. Like the crowds.
Waving.
I'd say they were 8 deep the whole way along, you know. And I was like, come on, me city.
Were they shouting at you or were they
going, Chris? I was just a reporter at the time. I was just at the back of the bus. But it was mostly Chris got the adulation, and deservedly so.
And they were singing, "We've got the world tonight.
That's not Chris. Is that him?
No, that's Mickey Joe.
Oh, sugar, that's Mickey. That's Mickey Joe. Chris Doran was "If the World Stops Turning."
My World Stopped Turning, written by Brian McFadden.
Of course.
So what that was big thing.
Yeah. What is Bagnell Sound? What puts you on the map?
In my lifetime, anyway, Niall Quinlan.
Oh,
soccer player.
Yeah, he came
and he opened up a restaurant, the Manor House. opened the month.
No, we were going in at that level.
Yeah, it's derelict now. But he came to our school and helped us raise the green flag, and I got a picture with him. But that was.
Is he from Carlow?
No, he just came down and said, you know what, I'm going to buy that old building, I'm going to turn it into a restaurant, I'm going to open it for about 3 months, then I'm going to close it, then I'm never going to see us again. So that was our kind of highlight of it, yeah.
And you know what, I take that because a lot of the time in Wexford, I don't know what his connection is, but Paul from Fair City, Tony Tormey, he opened a lot of stuff. Like he opened.
We're doing openings. The week after Beat opened, right? This building opened. A week later, Tesco Arkeen opened. And Mickey Joe Hart was the guy who came and did it. Just to loop back to your
papooing Paul from Fair City.
I'll give you Niall.
Oh.
It's just Niall Quinn, isn't it?
Niall Quinn, probably.
But is Paul from City, did he reach on a world stage in front of 150 million people like Mickey Joe Hart?
He's lasted in a soap for 20 something years. That's like the longest running soap in Ireland. So okay. I don't know, on a par.
A couple of messages coming in on this. Right, we'll take this. Guys, in current times, Robert Grace is from Greignamana.
Do you know what? Every time I say Robert Grace, I claim him as, well, he is one of ours, but like it's, yeah, he's so talented and so famous, so absolutely, yeah, there's nothing, no shame in that. We love Robert.
Paul's not, he's just not having the Guinness World Records thing. A lot of people are suspicious of your claims.
Not a lot of people are suspicious.
There's me, there's Paul. He says, "I'm not bursting your bubble, show, but the idea came up on a hunting trip in Castlebridge, but the book was arranged and issued in Fleet Street in London."
But I think the whole premise is that it was actually decided, or the idea was formed in the beautiful corner of Castlebridge.
You've had mad ideas in all sorts of places. It doesn't mean that place is responsible for the idea. It just means that you were wandering through at the time.
But if the idea was founded.
What does founding mean?
Founded means like, oh my god.
Idea. Yeah. Must get back to that when I get to Fleet Street in London.
No, printed in Fleet Street, but founded in Castlebridge. So founded. Ping, ping. Oh, pop up a plaque because, you know, it pinged here. Yeah.
Killing's on the list. A couple of the other bits from the southeast that might have him. Tip, of course, Shane Long, quickest goal in Premier League history.
Very good.
Yeah, also Wexford, and you haven't even mentioned Saving Private Ryan.
Well, I mentioned that yesterday. I don't like to go on about it, but obviously Carrickloe Breach is synonymous. And can I just say on the Wexford front, it hasn't happened yet, but it will be the thing that people are talking about for years and years to come. The Flacule 2024 is coming to Wexford.
Yeah,
Killian, half a million people are coming to Wexford.
I know, sure. It was in Carlow there a while back and in Mullingar the year before, so every county can say that. It's not really unique.
Well, I'm just saying that's something that we will cling on to after.
And what's your issue, Killian, with Waterford winning the 2011 Minor All-Ireland?
I just saw a tweet there the other day as someone tweeted. I was like, can't believe it's been so many years since 2011 and they won the Minor All-Ireland. I was like, is that what you're clinging on to?
It's big news.
Go on and just sing Don't Stop Believing, will you?
They're
getting off the train, walking across the bridge, the lads. Yeah, that's what you do in Waterford to celebrate. Like
the lads.
You're allowed to walk across the bridge.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I never never heard this.
Yeah.
Oh, come on,
Bracebridge.
Then, lads.
Bracebridge, yeah, they closed Tallaght and they walk. No, not on a footpath, across the road, like,
oh,
you know.
Oh, they closed the road, yeah, pedestrians. Yeah. Oh, come on.
You a bad boy.
Your next goal in life, you've gone under the bridge. Now it's time to close the bridge and let you walk, march across it.
Who can make this happen?
Waterford City Council, hello.
Is that who we got on to lift the bridge?
No, that was somebody else did that work for us. But anyway, keep them coming. Oh, wait, Paul is not letting this go.
Oh my God.
He's got a clipping from another article. He says, the brainchild of Sir Hugh Beaver, the book was co-founded by twin brothers Norris and Ross McWhirter in Fleet Street, London in August 1955. And the first edition topped the bestseller list by Christmas.
Paul, I admire your dedication. I'm going
tenacity,
back.
Tenacity, that's what it is.
I'm going
tenacity.
Back to Google. I'm going deeper, Paul. Going deeper. I'm not letting this go. Why would they have three plaques? Three plaques.
Okay, couple of the messages. Firstly, Claire was on Ardatton, the home of Saoirse Ronan.
Yes.
Claire in Ardatton, mm-hmm. of course.
And
good
great
one.
Athletics out there, I've often.
And Fergal says, what minor title, Killian, have Carlo won? Any title, actually. Wexford people will hang on to anything, though. God, there's a few digs in there.
Carlo Rison.
But he is from Wexford, so he's talking about the fact that we'll just cling on to 96 as if our life depended on it.
Oh, wait.
Top of the morning.
Wake up with your mates.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
The chat to soup. What did you say? Chat to soup.
Sometimes when I can't get through to somebody, if I really want to talk to them because they have a really good story, I'll message them and say, hey, Show here, will you chat to us? But my fingers got stuck there and I just wrote, will you chat to Sue? I meant us.
I'll show and Sue in the morning. Love it. Okay. Kids say the darndest things, and they really do, and that's what makes them joyous and special, but sometimes it leaves you a little bit cringe. Let's start with Derek. Hey, Derek, how's the form?
Morning, hon. Hello. Oh, this is WhatsApp. It's not our friend today. Are you there? Like,
Keith.
I can see him. Oh, Keith, sorry. Keith. That's probably why you didn't
probably
answer.
Why Sue and Derek. Anyone found Sue and Derek?
Keith, how are you?
Sorry, Keith.
Good morning. I've been called worse.
Okay. Ah, good, okay.
Thank God for that.
Listen, kids say the funniest things. You've got a very recent story, actually.
It was only, this weekend, actually. We were having dinner down in my mum's house for Easter. And my sister-in-law is very close to expecting her third child. So we were explaining to my two-year-old that she wouldn't be the youngest in the family anymore.
Tough.
Yeah.
So she kept looking kind of at the bump and looking strangely. So we were trying to explain how you explain to a two-year-old what's going on. But we were saying that in the family, there's going to be the daddy and the mammy and the brother and the sister. So next thing she was, okay. And she gets down off the chair and goes over to my sister-in-law, rubs her tummy, Chicken Thomas. Chicken Thomas. So my unborn nephew has now been self-assigned, the name Chicken Thomas to my unborn nephew.
That birth cert is going to be interesting, I tell you. Chicken Thomas.
Chicken Thomas. And that was it. There was no two ways about it. That was the name for about 4 hours, patting the belly and saying Chicken Thomas.
Well, the only thing is, you're not going to meet another one. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
No, it's original anyway.
That's brilliant.
We love it. Listen, thanks for chatting to us.
Thanks,
a good day.
Keith.
Talk to you later.
Bye,
let me read a couple of other quick bits coming in here. Okay, a dark one. I'll do a dark one.
Okay.
Laura was on to us.
Okay.
She says, when my mom was passing away 6 years ago, we sat by her bed waiting for the inevitable. But my young nephew piped up and said, could we not just put her down? And we all belly laughed in secret. Laura said, kids say it as they see it, lads.
Say what you see.
And Oisin was on to us as well from Carlo. He says, the first time my little brother came with us to a restaurant, he ordered off the adult's menu. When the waitress came to take the orders, he looked at her and said, tell me about the lasagna, with the poshest accent ever. Lads, bear in mind, we are all from Carlo and have not got posh accents. The waitress didn't know what to say.
Tell me about the lasagna.
Tell me about the lasagna.
You could do this all the time, really. Because kids are much funnier than us.
Okay, I think we might have a winner here. Martha, good morning. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
We're good. And where are you this morning?
I'm just on the way to work.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Very good.
Well, your story, it tops it all this morning, really, to be honest with you. Do you want to retell it for us?
Okay. It's a bit embarrassing. I hope it's okay for kids listening. But when my son was, I think he must have been 4 or 5, I'm not sure, but we went up to my mother-in-law one Sunday afternoon and we were all chatting, having coffee in the kitchen, and then he suddenly stared into Granny's face and he just went, "Granny, your face is more wrinkly than my wheelie." So, yes.
What was Granny's reaction?
Oh, so she took it very well, in fairness.
I was mortified.
Yeah, I was mortified.
Oh, well, again, saying what he saw.
Yes.
Listen, we love it, Marta. Have a great day, okay?
Thank you. You
talk to you later.
Thanks so much. Question for you. Have you, in your current abode or in your mum's, had any issues with animals in your garden?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, tons. Go on.
Just cats. Cats all the time, just sneaking around the garden, digging up the grass to do you know what's, and then running away. Just this white cat in particular, and there's two cats, and I think they do some loving. I think they're nuky on top of my shed. Sometimes I can hear like them. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, let me sleep. And they're so annoying.
On top of the shed that you sleep in?
On top of the shed, and you can hear everything because it's like a galvanised kind of roof.
Yeah.
You can hear them running across, and there's a back wall of my house that leads into another estate, like, so they jump up on that. Yeah, not too fans of the owl, the cats now in the garden, running around the place.
Well, you've got something in common with Simon Cowell. Not cats, but moles, right? So apparently his bid for a quiet life in the country has been shattered by moles. He was hoping for friendly neighbours after selling his 45 million mansion in London's Holland Park, but these pesky critters are said to be taking over. So he's got a new pad. It's thought to be worth 8 million, so he's downsized slightly. And it's now been ruined and resembles Swiss cheese, according to an insider. So you know, all the little holes. It was previously four homes before being turned into a mansion. He bought it in 2021 and it's been riddled with mole hills, although it was fine when he moved into it. But now he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to fix it. These moles are coming into the garden. They're taking over and they're absolutely destroying it. And when I read this last night, I was like, my mum and dad had a similar issue with badgers.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think moles exist because I've never seen them.
Oh, they do.
Do they? Do they have them in Ireland?
I don't, but they must if they have them in England. I don't know if I've ever seen a mole.
Yeah.
But I know
a badger.
Yeah, well, a badger in mum and dad's garden was like doing that whole thing of like going into the grass and like obviously like digging and burying or whatever and just leaving like patchy grass. So my parents' garden was a bit similar to like Simon Cowell's. No.
The badger, the like black and white thing that smells.
Yeah, that's a skunk you're thinking of.
Ah.
I think it's Unagi. A skunk.
That's a skunk. Yeah, you're dead right.
They have destroyed his garden. He's not happy. And I suspect he said it's like they're taking over. The moles are getting braver. And quite a few have popped up by the living room window, pool and patio. Now that would freak me out.
The cheek of them. I believe animals know exactly what they're at. Like they know exactly the things that will annoy us and get on our nerves.
I think some of them are so brave. Like I saw last week someone shared an Instagram post or a story, and a fox had come right up to the back patio door. I wouldn't go out to that.
I wouldn't even do that to my neighbours. Go up to the back patio door.
Yeah, and just stare in. Like
absolute cheek.
Giving the eye.
Imagine you coming and just like looking at my window, going, "Hey, Killian, I want food. Come on, hurry up." Morning, Janine. You have a story for us.
Morning, guys. It's going back to when I was younger, but we live where my parents live, where I grew up, was out in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
So you kind of expect to see these animals, but not at 7 o'clock in the morning when you open a curtain and they're staring at you in the window. There was like half a herd of cats in my parents' front garden, and my dad had just done the garden up, and he was absolutely livid.
No.
They had tore it asunder.
Oh my God. So there's just a load of cows when you looked out the window?
Yeah, literally. Because our bedroom, girl's bedroom window was out the front, so when you opened the curtains, that's what you were looking at.
And where did they come from? Like the field next door or something?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because like that, out the country, you keep your front gate closed on the off chance. But they actually came in through the side of the house.
Okay. Yeah. And what happened to the garden after that? Did your dad just give up on it?
Oh, no, he actually did fix it back up again. Like, well, he was just trying to get them out, figuring out some farmer. Oh, is the cat in it? Oh, yeah.
Disgusted. I think... Do you know what? I think you you trump Simon Cowell, to be honest with you. Like, your herd of cattle in the garden is better than his moles in his 8 million mansion. Listen, have a great day, hon.
You too, guys.
Bye.
Wake up with your mate.
Start your day laughing.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
One from Katie was on to us. She's at work at the moment. She says, I just trying to get my head around it. When I was younger, I loved throwing stones on the roof. Don't ask me why. I just did. Yeah. Anyway, this one morning I was in third class and I was waiting for the bus and throwing an odd stone or two.
Whatever passes the time for you.
Next minute, sure didn't I miss the roof and I hit my mum's back windows in her car. Absolutely smashing it.
How hard are you throwing these stones?
She happened to be asleep, so I panicked and the bus came and I got on it and I went to school. When I came back, my mum was convinced it was a bird or a branch that had fallen from a tree. Up until only about a few years ago did I confess it was me. She said she didn't know whether to laugh at the commitment to me sticking to the lie for that long or to be really angry at me for lying. Bear in mind, I was 21 when I told her and I was absolutely bricking it. Luckily, it's a good joke now in our family.
So you were in third class. You were 9. So you waited...
12 years. 12 years.
Imagine, like, what was the moment that you decided... I'm going to come clean.
I'd say the car must have come up. She says, oh, like, obviously, she was thinking about it for 12 years. It was on her mind. So, look, let's just clear
enough time has passed. Yeah. I can get this out. I can be free of it.
What I don't understand is, like, how have you never broken anything at home? Why are you such a goody-goody little two-shoes?
I was such You're a goody-goody.
You're going around with your little elbow pads and knee pads to make sure you can't damage anything. You know what I mean?
I was such a little goody-two-shoes when I was younger.
Even Davy, like, nothing happened. Like, oh, no. Like, through a window or anything. No?
Killian, I was only talking to somebody about this the other day. Like, there's only the two of us, right? And someone was like, did you not, like, were you not, you know the way you were talking about wrestling with your brothers? Yeah. Like, we never had a fight. Like, I've never had an argument with him in my entire life. The only thing...
Unhealthy.
Yeah, really unhealthy and weird a bit. Like,
no, like,
too close.
He's so lovely. Like, you couldn't fight with him. The only thing he ever did that I can remember is he read my diary when I was 13 and it was all about, like, my first crush. And he read it and then he went straight down to my mom and said, I read Cho's diary and I feel really bad. And she's like, that's okay. We'll go up and tell her together.
Then he wrote an old album about it. Love this story. Laura, good morning. How are you today?
Hi, how are you?
We're good. And where are you this morning?
I'm in Gorey.
Okay, all right. So bring us back. What happened?
So when my brother and I were teenagers, we were running around the house throwing a ball at each other, as you do.
As you do.
And up and down the stairs, my parents were out. And, you know, when your parents have these weird, like, decorative plates on the wall.
Exactly like my mother, the same thing. Fancy plates all over the wall.
Fancy plates going down the stairs. Anyway, we smashed one of the plates, cleared it all up and hid it. And then when my parents came home, we said that we were just sitting down watching TV and this plate smashed all by itself.
Wow.
So there was something freaky going on. So my stepdad, who's quite spiritual, went around the house sprinkling salt in the corners of all the rooms to banish any spirits that were in the house.
Oh my God, the poor man was convinced you'd been taken over by something.
Yes, and it was very hard not to break. I don't think we told them for a long time, but we were just laughing when he was sprinkling his salt.
Oh, I love it.
Laura, deadly.
Travel mug on the way to you. Thanks for
chatting. Have a great day,
and thank you.
Have a good morning.
Wake up with your mate.
Start your day laughing.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
Have Oliver on the phone, and I think Oliver deserves a travel mug. Good morning, Oliver.
Good morning, Beat FM. How are you?
We're good. We're good. Listen, what county are you in this morning?
Port Arrington, County Leash.
County Leash, all right. And did you have a lovely Easter?
Yeah, Easter was lovely. Yeah. I had a couple of days off to spend with the kids. Yeah, so yeah, no, all good. Lovely.
Nice. So we were chatting and we were saying, what's your good news? What happened over the weekend? Something to lift us up? What was the story that you wanted to share with us?
I'm looking forward to a quiet week this week, because last week I went to the carnival with the kids. Done a couple of the rides, we've done bumpers and we've done the airplane, the chairs and all that.
Yeah.
But for the last one, we went on one called Extreme.
Okay.
I've never been on it now, so we talked the young lad onto it.
What is it? Now, what's Extreme, Oliver? How does that work?
Extreme. It's basically you get strapped in. We didn't know how it worked. We just saw one that went around in circles, but it turns out it's one that goes up into the air and twists in and kind of goes on mad angles. So we're about 15 seconds into the ride and I realise I'm in trouble. and I let her roar at my young lad beside me. I said, my legs after falling off. And he's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. My wife's looking at us. And she sees it, just sees this thing flying across the sky and into the hook of duck. My prosthetic leg had fallen off.
Oh, Oliver.
Yeah. Oh, my. I shouldn't be laughing, Oliver. I'm sorry.
I know, but it is. It's so funny. But it landed in the hook of duck and it absolutely frightened. Oh, the poor young lad that was working in, I didn't know what was going on. My wife was running and running over. He's like, my leg, that's my husband's leg, you know. And he was like, oh my God. And she went over then to the right and we were on, and she was to their mouth to the man, that's my husband's leg, and he doesn't know what she was on about. He said, he's up there, his legs that are falling off. And we came to a stop anyway, and there was two, the lad and the girl was sitting across from him as well. And the young lad turned around to the girl and he went, he definitely had two legs at the start of his ride, like, because I had one leg, and the other one was just my jeans flopping around, like, you know what I mean? I know.
So, make sure you were okay, and the hook a duck person was okay.
And the hook a duck person, luckily enough, everyone was okay. Yeah, it only wrecked the stall now, that was all. But boy, prizes flying everywhere, so it did. But, couple of seconds there, all I could hear was from me to the door, Isabel joining sick. All I could hear was, Daddy, we have your leg! Daddy! We have your leg. I came running up anyway, yeah, we put my leg back on and continued on for the rest of the evening. So, yeah, so I don't know. So it looks powerful. It was a nice quiet week this week.
Okay.
Now we'll do the finest.
We don't want any antics. We don't want any drama. Listen, Rachel has been on to us. She said, I am weak. You deserve a travel mug this morning. And we're going to send some beat merch out for the kids as well. Thank you so much, Oliver. All right, listen, have a great day. Remind yourself.
Bye.
You're right there, Killian.
I'm actually sweating. So look, if you didn't laugh, you cried.
It was the way he told it. He's just brilliant. We
just
love
the
you, Oliver.
A duck. Just imagine being there, like with your rod and a leg just flies. Oh, God, we've got a dilemma. We need your help next.
Right, they are experiencing a surge in tourism, and it's all thanks to Harry Styles. So
he's from a place, and does this now sound very posh? It's like somewhere you'd see on Location, Location, Location. He's from Holmes Chapel in Cheshire.
It does sound really posh.
Holmes Chapel.
The hometown has become a pilgrimage site for thousands of adoring fans, prompting the recruitment of teenage tour guides. It'd be a grand old summer job, wouldn't it? You know, if you're looking for some summer work, to lead the way through his old stomping grounds. So some 5,000 fans are also known as Harry's have flocked to the village over the last year to take this tour of all the landmarks that basically shaped his upbringing, right? So there are important landmarks in his life, and there's been a map created by the civil parish, which the local railway station ticket officer gives away for free.
Oh, wow.
And then they treat fans to like this 2-mile journey around the village, and they get to see all the significant spots of his past, right? So applicants are required to have a genuine interest in the village and its history, as well as the links to Harry Styles, and have excellent communication and storytelling skills.
Okay.
So, yeah, go on.
Some of the things that you will see on this tour: the bakery where he worked as a teenager,
yeah.
The spot where he had his first kiss, and the Chinese restaurant that he once took Taylor Swift to.
Yeah, all important landmarks. Mm. These are the things that have shaped Harry Styles, who he is as a person. And Peter Weirs, who is the chairman of Holmes Chapel Partnership, said, we aim to start official tours of Harry's home village on Saturday mornings in June and weekdays in July, August and September. And we will be recruiting Harry Styles fans from 16 and over to act as local tour guides. I think this is brilliant. I think this is something that if you were looking for work and you didn't want to be in retail or whatever, and you think, I'm a Harry, you know, I'll get out there and tell the people about him and his life.
And the other side of it is, from a punter's point of view, if I was to go and visit Holmes Chapel, do you know what? The history thing isn't hugely interesting to me. I don't really care about the 2,000-year-old building or that. But I do want to know, oh, that's the Chinese.
The Chinese.
He had a shift with Taylor and that, you know.
Yeah. You got me at the Chinese. So do you want me to go through what I would do for you if I was to bring you on a tour of Wexford?
The walking tour of Wexford, okay.
Okay, so basically, it's pity we don't have any like background Wexford music. So I would start with a walk on Kirklow Beach, where the very famous Saving Private Ryan was shot, and I once kissed someone that was in a scene in that. And
on
I would,
the beach,
yeah.
Oh,
they were in a scene.
They were in the movie, and you kissed them on the beach where it was filmed.
No, they were just in the movie years ago. And show you the sand dune I jumped down where I split my lip when I was 10.
Okay.
8 stitches in my lip.
Yeah.
Then we'd head back into town where we'd walk the main street and the quays, get a coffee from one of the many places that
finally
I frequent. I'd bring you to the Bullring where I fell on my shoulder outside Mackin's a few weeks ago.
Mm.
We'd stop there for one of Jimmy's Rissoles and browse in the Bullring Market. You know, a load of
trinkets.
Trinkets. I love trinkets. Then I'd bring you to the National Opera House. And if you didn't know, the National Opera House is on this like random street. You know, you just wouldn't know that it was there.
Externally, you'd nearly miss it.
You would. And we'd walk in there and Wexford Light Opera Society would be performing their Phantom of the Opera. So you just get a snippet of that. You wouldn't have to stay for the whole thing. You just get a feel for the town. Then we'd eat in my favourite Thai restaurant. Extreme Rhythm would perform between the main and the dessert. And then we'd finish with a sing song and it would go like this. Who wants to go on my tour?
I go. I mean, we're not going to be brought to the home of the Guinness World Records in Castle Bridge, no?
No, I just tell you about that.
Okay, I'm in. If anyone wants to do this walking tour in Wexford this summer, let us know. You can make your bookings.
We've got one. Okay. Brendan would like to know where would the tour be. So, yeah, like Brendan, you're the first person to sign up for Show's tour of Wexford, the hometown. Like, forget your Harry.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, well done. 7:37 at Beat Breakfast.
Wake up with your mate.
Start your day laughing.
Niall and Show on Beat Breakfast.
Okay, I want to take a moment to talk to you about one of the greatest bands of all time. I'm talking Steps.
Latest news on Steps.
They are one of the UK's most successful mixed sex band. Ian H. Watkins, one of the members, is going to be receiving a heartfelt tribute from a village in his home country of Wales, right? So members of the local action group, they're called Cultural Cowbridge. They've lifted...
That's just funny.
It is. They've lifted the lid on their plans, right? And they plan to erect an 8-foot-tall statue in honour of Ian, revealing their project has been funded by private donations and designed by a local artist. So a lot of play here. A lot of people have come together to really kind of make this happen. Hands in pockets. A local artist has stepped forward going, I'm not doing anything. I'll do an 8-footer for you. The installation of this statue will take place not far from where Ian was born, so it makes perfect sense. Mm. The sculpture has been built to acknowledge and commemorate the pop star, actor and broadcasters. What is he? Broadcast? I don't know.
Maybe he's done a radio show.
Google that.
Radio or something.
Contribution to British music and his ongoing impact on Cowbridge itself.
I mean, when I think of Cowbridge, I think H. Yeah. You know, so every time.
This statue, this 8-footer, is going to be unveiled this June 2024. Now, wait for it. Coinciding with Cowbridge's Pride Parade.
Makes
so
sense.
It's the perfect day for it. They're going to put the statue up. They're going to say, Ian, you've done so much for Cowbridge. We wanted to share our love with you and to show our appreciation for your talent and your success, I suppose.
Do you know, when I saw this story yesterday, Show, I felt I needed to act on it. And myself and Killian did a little bit of work on this and we reached out.
Okay. What do you mean you felt like you needed to do a bit of
work? I just think when I think of people who've really made a difference to their community and who have inspired, who have excelled across a number of mediums, you know, TV, radio, acting and performance. I just thought of you. And I just thought it's about time that Wexford did something for you, that you deserved an erection. Yeah, you deserve an 8-footer. You do. And so we reached out to the local council, and in particular, a fine man, Wexford Councillor George Lawler.
Oh.
And this is what George had to say.
Okay. I think an 8-foot statue of Shauna is a wonderful idea. And in my view, the best place for it is Wexford Quays. We could have an annual parade on the 20th of June with the fife and drum band marching up, and it could mark the beginning of summer, and people could come and lay flowers and revere Shauna at the statue. You know, statues sometimes get nicknames. Remember that lady in the jacuzzi in Dublin? But our one could be known, our statue of Shauna could be known as the Queen on the Quay, or the Babe by the Bay, or our Hun in the Sun.
Oh.
It's a wonderful proposal. Let me know, and I'll bring it to the officials in Wexford.
How would you feel about
George,
that?
George, I love George Lawler, and I love him even more now. What was it? The Hun on the Sun.
The Babe by the Bay.
The Queen of the Keys.
Like, all like wonderful suggestions. I'm not sure which one we would possibly go with, but I think there's something in this, because he mentioned June 20th, and everyone knows that I'm just so fanatical about summer in the southeast. So it could be like the official launch of summer statue on the quay. Did we get anyone for Niall? Did we get anything to erect?
No local councillors have come back yet.
We're not getting a statue erected for you.
No, but although I said to you earlier, it's not a statue really I'd be after. I think I'd like Reginald's Tower just to be renamed after me. It's the most iconic Waterford landmark, you know, the Power Tower.
Or Reginald Power.
Hey, that was mine from earlier. Yeah, don't you steal that.
So either of that, if any of the councillors are listening and you'd like to do something as a tribute to commemorate myself, go for it.
I would be really in favour, George. Just bring that to your people and come back to us and let us know what's happening with it. Okay, thanks a million.
You're making funny faces. No, just Brendan has been onto his show and he says, is it a giant show statue? And I was just thinking, actually, yeah, if we're going to go, we may as well go big. The bigger the erection, the better, I find, right? So I was just thinking of the Christ the Redeemer statue, you know, in Rio. You know how big that is?
Yeah, the one that's, where his arms out.
98 foot.
I don't.
98 foot show. Where? Erection, imagine, Jesus. On Wexford Quay.
I don't want to be obnoxious.
I don't want to go too far.
Beat Breakfast with Now.
Join the home of brilliant entertainment with shows, movies, and sport on Now.